I'm Dr. Amy Robbins, and welcome to Life, Death, and the Space Between podcast. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist and medium, and here we explore life, death, consciousness, and what it all means. First, I want to start by thanking my new Patreons so much. I'm going to read your names off. I won't include last names. But thank you to Ferguson, Tina, Kristen, Cheryl, Linda, Amber, Andrea, Eliza, Shelley, Anne-Marie, Patty, Brian, Catherine, Jennifer, Nikki, Sarah, Mary, JP, Janet, Deanna, and Beth. And I know I have not by name acknowledged my previous Patreon, so I will be doing that in upcoming episodes. But I cannot tell you what it means to me to have your support. Every little bit helps me so much sustain this program. It helps me. So you're helping me spread this message. And it just makes such a difference for me in terms of sustainability and what I'm able to do. So if you are not a Patreon supporter yet, please go to patreon.com, put in Dr. Amy Robbins, and you can give at any level. Even a one-time donation is wonderful. I've gotten a few of those. Thank you, Lance, if you're listening. So I just wanted to remind you all of that. Also, if you're not yet signed up for my newsletter, I do bi-weekly soul wisdoms. And what these are inspired channeled insights that I get sitting in meditation to really help you think about how you want to live. So please make sure to sign up for my newsletter at dramyrobbins.com. Also, make sure you're following me on Instagram and subscribing to the podcast. And if you haven't written a review about the podcast yet, I would greatly appreciate that. That helps me as I'm trying to get guests on the show and as I'm trying to continue to build. People look at that. They want to know that there are people listening to this podcast. So anything that you can do to help, every little bit helps. If you do write a review, screenshot it, tag me on Instagram. I just love seeing and getting to know more of you. So please go ahead and do that. Also, today I have a ghost story. So if you're new to the podcast, ghost stories are your stories, my listeners' stories around their spiritual experiences. And I love that so many of you, I don't use names, I keep names out of it, but I do love that so many of you have reached out and you've said in your outreach, I was nervous to write this, or I can't believe I'm finally telling this story. And that's what I want. I want you to be able to tell stories about your experiences to help open others up to the incredible spiritual world in which we live. So if you are listening, you've been thinking about writing a ghost story, this is your chance. Write a ghost story, send it in. Typically, the ghost stories have to be about 5 minutes long, which equates to about a page and a half, two pages, single spaced, just to give you some idea as you're working on it. If you write something less than that, it's not likely I can use it for a ghost story. If I have several that are small, I'm thinking of combining them, but I really like to get a rich story from you. Not just like one sign that you've seen, but the background to that experience. So with that, here is today's ghost story. I've been a spiritual person since I can remember, but I wouldn't say that I grew up in a particularly spiritual household. My mom was raised Catholic, and my dad, from his words, hadn't stepped foot inside a church until he met my mom. He converted to Catholicism to be with her and to marry her inside the church, which I always thought was very romantic. My brother and I were raised Catholic, but I always felt a spiritual pull above and beyond the church. I tried a few times to ask my dad about his spiritual beliefs, but unfortunately, he always remained very diplomatic with his responses, saying that he respected my mom's tie to the Catholic Church and that he did believe there was something bigger than us, but he didn't know exactly what it was. I really wish I'd had the opportunity to have a deeper discussion with him, but unfortunately, I missed my opportunity. My dad passed away almost a year ago. The circumstances were heartbreaking. And I must provide a bit of background information. So what happened to my brother and I afterwards all makes more sense. I live abroad in Europe, and at the time my parents were visiting me. My husband and my daughter were here in Switzerland. My dad caught a rare sickness while he was here, which put him in the ICU. He was in a medically induced coma for 6 weeks before he passed away. It was the most devastating and devastating experience of my life. My mom and I stayed by his side the entire time while he was in the hospital, and my brother came to visit for a few weeks before returning to America. None of us were able to say goodbye, and he passed away while still in a coma. When my dad died, my brother drove down to our parents' house to get things in order. He wanted the house to be warm and welcoming for my mom when she returned to the States. We had been through so much, and we were living in a foggy nightmare. What had started out as a week-long vacation in Europe turned into a two-month life-changing event, and my mom was returning to her home without her husband. When my mom and I arrived back in America with my dad's ashes in tow, my brother and his wife picked us up from the airport. We cried, embraced, and shared our grieving thoughts. When we got in the car to drive to my parents, my brother paused. "I have something to tell you," he said. "It's kind of weird." You must understand, my brother's a doctor and is not very open with his spiritual beliefs. That's not to say he doesn't have them. It's just not something he's ever been open about. He has often called my love for tarot, meditation, and spirituality a bit wooey-wooey. "It's about the lights," he said. "The lights in the family room. We can't turn them off." "What do you mean?" my mom and I asked, puzzled. "No matter what you do with the light switch, flip it up or down, the lights won't turn off." My mom and I were both a little weirded out, but figured there must be a plausible explanation. When we arrived at my parents' house, we immediately went into the family room to see what he was talking about. He was right. No matter what we did to jiggle the light switch, the lights would not turn off. My mom said that in the 26 years they had lived in that house, they had never had electrical issues before. We all went to bed that night, and my mom again tried to turn the lights off. They wouldn't budge. In my heart, I knew that my dad was wanting us to know he was there, wanting to communicate. The next day, when I had a moment alone with my brother, he pulled me aside and said, "I have something else to tell you, but we can't tell mom." I was eager to listen, to feel some kind of connection to my dad in hopes he was reaching out. My brother then told me what happened. He had been in the house for over a week, cleaning and preparing for our arrival. About halfway through his time there, he was in the backyard throwing a ball with his dog when he looked up and saw something on the second floor. It was the light in my parents' bathroom. He had been staying alone in the house and hadn't entered their room, but he had been playing in the backyard every day with the dog and had not seen it on before. We both contemplated whether or not either one of them could have accidentally left the light on before they left the country. But knowing how conscientious my dad was, we were in disbelief that they would have left the country without checking every single room to make sure everything was in order. We were both in shock. Was our dad communicating with us, trying to reach us through lights? He had passed away so far from all his family and friends. Was his spirit finally home and he wanted us to know he was there? But the story doesn't end there. One of the wildest, most serendipitous things happened just a week later. My husband and daughter finally arrived, and I picked them up in my dad's car, which I had always borrowed while in town. My husband, having the huge heart that he does, told me that he wanted to do things around the house to help my mom feel less stressed about the situation. Anything to help her feel better. He wanted to clean out the garage a bit, something my dad had been saying he was going to do but kept putting off, and install a new faucet and handles in the laundry room, another thing my dad had said started with good intention but hadn't finished. Thomas found the new faucet and handles that my dad had purchased in the garage and began the install. When he was finished, he realized he was missing one screw. We went to the local hardware store to see if he could buy the missing screw, but they didn't have it. They said it was very particular for that faucet and handle set and that it wasn't sold separately. We then called my uncle, my dad's brother, who's very handy, and asked if he had one of the screws in his tool shed or if he knew where we could get one. He had come over to take a look. Yeah, the hardware store was right. You have to buy a whole new set. You can't buy this screw separately. We were disappointed because we could see from the box it had been expensive, and it seemed a waste to buy a whole new one to do an entirely new install just because of one missing screw. Thomas scoured the garage for days, and we came up with nothing. I finally gave up and decided to go shopping to buy a new one. On the way to the hardware store, we stopped at a shop to pick something up, and I jumped out of the car to run inside. When I got back in the car, I saw tears in my husband's eyes. I asked him what's wrong, knowing that the last 2 months had been emotionally tiring for all of us, and it was likely he was experiencing his own suppressed grief. He opened up his hand, and inside was a tiny screw. "What is that?" I asked. "You won't believe it," he said. After you jumped out of the car, I sat here and said, "Jim, where on earth is this screw? Where could it be? Please help us find it." And then I felt an instinct to open the center console of the car. Right there in the middle was a screw. "Are you sure this is a screw we're looking for?" I asked. "I'm 100% sure." And he was right. Thomas and I both got teary-eyed and smiled, knowing my dad was doing everything he could to communicate with us, that he was saying, "Thank you for taking care of my family. Thank you for taking care of my wife during this difficult time." When we got back to my parents' house, we told my mom and she burst into tears. We also called my uncle and he was in complete disbelief. Why on earth would this screw be in the center console of my dad's car? Why would he be driving around with an odd screw for no reason? It bewildered all of us. After a few weeks back in America, it was time to fly home. The lights in the living room were still stuck on, and my mom said she wanted to leave them that way. I didn't disagree with her. When I returned back home to Switzerland, I looked far and wide for signs from my dad, but unfortunately, I haven't received any. But a part of me knows in my heart that his soul is in America, in his hometown that he loves so much, surrounded by our loving family. And he will communicate again with us in his own way when he's ready. Thank you so much. Wow, this was a wonderful ghost story with so many different layers and pieces to it. So again, if you have a ghost story to share, please, please go on my website, dramyrobbins.com, and share your ghost story. And until next time, thank you for listening to Life, Death, and the Space Between. Like what you heard today and want to hear more? Wondering what comes next and what it all means? Head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Also, if you could take a minute to rate and review my podcast, I would really appreciate it. Stay tuned as we continue to explore life, death, and the space between.